Hello and welcome back to the TOVG podcast. Last week, we didn't have one. I dearly apologize. I was sick with like one of the worst throat infections of my life. And apparently you guys didn't want to go without me.
I remember specifically in the chat, you were like, no, you can't do it without me.
Please don't do it without me. I think I suggested that you could do it without me. And I was surprised to find out later that night that you guys did not choose to go that route.
We were both super busy as well. And it was more of like a... The George sickness is an omen that maybe this week's podcast shouldn't be.
Yeah. See, you know, we want to keep the quality up to par, you know? And if the dryness
has quality.
If the bunny doesn't bring the dryness every week, you know, then it'll just be a happy podcast. And no one wants a happy podcast,
no,
right?
No, people want to argue about video games. Every new video game is either the worst or the best video game ever.
You know,
it's like our patented catchphrase that's totally been around since forever on the podcast.
Tribes.
Once you hop, you just can't stop.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I remember that beloved one that we came up with way back in the day.
We can't have a podcast where all the participants like fun, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I remember I think there was just one podcast in this whole run we've been doing this where it was just me and Jimmy by ourselves. And I remember neither of us, like, I remember it going really well. Like, both of us being happy and peppy and moving through the topics nice and fast and smooth.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys?
It was weird.
Oh, excuse me. I'm the one who ruined it all. Wait. Didn't you guys used to do it by just you two and just like maybe a guest sometimes in the beginning?
No, it was, we had
was
a guest
consistent?
Every week, yeah. But it was like TOVG people. So we had Kytales and Jordan.
Were the old regulars.
I guess that's it.
Before they decided to.
But we had. It was a third that was in rotation every week, and then eventually you came along, Matt, and then we were just like, this
we
works
never
very
back.
Well. Yeah. It's
now
easier
you have a variety
to,
now.
Everyone yeah, has not. To have
We
like,
have some diversity.
Thank you. You know, I'm glad you said it, because I was about to say it, and I was like, nah, you know, I'll keep the black jokes to a minimum. Oh, I got one more later on, but that's fine. So what have you guys been doing?
All right, so everybody
jokes.
Now just hold your breath in anticipation for the impending black joke. You'll never know when it's going to come out.
But when it comes out, you will know it.
Yeah, you will.
It'll hit you like a...
Don't make a black joke right now.
Hang on. It'll hit you like a...
So what have you been playing, Matt?
Like a warp drive to the space station.
Absolutely.
You've been playing nothing.
The first time you start with me first is like the first time I'm like playing not nothing, but all right. I've been playing for a separate channel. I've been playing The Wolf Among Us, and I started Metal Gear Peace Walker, but I haven't properly. You know, really get into it,
okay.
You know, get really comfortable in it. I just, you know, after freaking 30 minutes, you already can see a 16-year-old's underwear. So I am already just like, maybe I shouldn't play Metal Gear games.
Also,
maybe
guess
I'm
what?
Not the right person to play Metal Gear games.
Peace Walker is the T-rated one that was aimed for kids to play in public on their Vitas.
Oh, Vita.
Sorry, not Vita. It was actually an original PSP game, but you can't tell. Okay. It looks like a Vita game.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks
fine. Just, yeah, I mean, yeah. Just, yeah. I see as the series goes forward, Kojima gets more and more insane, which is weird because PT was like, I mean, it was a demo, of course, but it was like really good. So I had high expectations.
Do you still have
for
it
like
installed?
The series? PT, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Never get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because it will just be gone. Forever.
It will increase the resale value of your PS4 considerably.
Yeah.
Do you think that PT was named such not only because of like playable teaser and whatever, but it's like like Kojima's like looking back on his PTSD of working with Konami.
Oh, that was Jimmy, you're usually way better than that.
That was actually a serious question. I wasn't even trying to make a pun. That might be a thing.
You always make the fun puns.
I
really would love to see a documentary about him working at Konami. You know,
because
playing the games back to back to back. It gets really weird, man. You don't want to look too deeply into it because it's a game or whatever, and people like to, you know, it's a game, whatever. But like when you look deeply at it, it's like, ooh, there's something going on here with Kojima.
Another interesting thing going on is that as he follows the big boss character arc, like he's following a character who becomes vilified in the later games,
yeah.
Which means that you have to play someone who like develops a very anti-American perspective. Like, I don't know how far you are into it, but that game sparked a lot of controversies on launch because, you know, you have like little girl panties and whatnot. But also there's a lot of idolizing of Che Guevara. If you listen to the tapes, like Big Boss and Kaz are just like, oh, I love Che Guevara's dick. Russell
Che
a few Jimmys.
Guevara?
Sorry, I said it wrong, but, you know,
famous is that?
Cuban revolutionary who traveled across South America spreading the word of communism and anti-Western sentiment.
And his face on Hot Topic shirts.
the storyline of Peace Walker has a lot of interesting analogs where it kind of serves as a response to the philosophies outlined in MGS3, and the response it develops turn out to be like kind of wrong, which you should already know from Big Boss's story in the previous games. Like, the guy turns into a villain and goes absolutely crazy and becomes a warmonger who's like scooping up children in Metal Gear 2 to turn them into soldiers, which is like objectively wrong. Far are you into Peace Walker?
Not far, just a...
Okay, because it's really fun knowing what you know from Metal Gear 2 going through this one. And this is why I was so hyped that you played Metal Gear 2 back in the day, because you get to see that character like happen here. And in MGS3, it's just like hinted at the very end of the game. But this one like goes through the really weird and kind of crazy justifications behind the mentality that character develops into in Metal Gear 2, which is a game from like 20 years before this one was made, which is crazy. And what is so fun about going through this series is that it maintains a continuity that spans three decades.
I love stuff like that, though. That's definitely the stuff I like. You make a game from way before, you don't just forget all that, you know, you want to keep it with you.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I'll keep a close eye on that for sure.
Also, it's fun that you're doing Wolf Among Us at the same time. I feel like those two games you're playing through have very separate progressions. Peace Walker begins really strong and becomes a slog towards the... Peace Walker does begin really strong and becomes a slog towards the like midpoint, endpoint. And so does Wolf Among Us. It's one of Telltale's strongest games, I think, are the first two episodes. But then 3, 4, and 5 gradually peter out to like... point.
Oh no. Well, I'm in episode 2 at the moment.
It's good, isn't it?
And it's
solving
the
murder
music
mysteries.
Is good, and
the style, it's there's some shots that look like actual comic book art just like coming to life in front of you.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, that also goes away in the last two episodes.
Okay, all right. No more.
Right,
no.
Right.
I don't expectations are going to be
I don't want to
Yeah,
I don't want to leer
I'm gonna
you
be like,
left
oh,
or right.
Well. Watch, it's gonna be sad. Okay, but that's me. That's been me. What
I'm
about
really,
you guys?
Really interested in hearing your thoughts on Peace Walker.
Next week. Only advice to you, Matt, going through The Wolf Among Us is glass him.
Oh yeah, glass him.
What?
You'll know when the time comes.
People in the comments are saying,
"If you're in episode
last...
two, you might have already seen that. Actually, you just might have not picked that option."
No, I didn't. I didn't because someone in the oh, does that mean you will be able to catch both of them at the same time if you glass them?
I don't know what the implications are. I just think that the option is very funny.
Well, I also didn't pick glass him, so I didn't know what the joke was until I saw the video, and it's a pretty good option.
Okay, I got to definitely see it.
It's a good option that's really poorly conveyed about what glass him means until you do it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what they said. It's like, oh, just to tell you, Matt, glass him means you're going to bust his head open with a bottle.
You're gonna melt down the surface of his home planet into glass.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Turn it over. That's the first thing I thought of, actually.
Yeah, me too.
That is the first thing I thought of. Yeah, exactly.
Wolf Among Us is the best Halo game. Anyways. Other games before we get into the obvious big one.
What's the obvious big one? Oh, never mind. I remember. What have I been playing? Nothing, really. I've been working on my cosplay, which is... probably done as of today. If I don't take the picture by today, I'm not making it to the cosplay contest.
Did you try to get back into Pokemon Go?
No.
Because
I haven't even touched it.
They've gone back on their wayward ways.
Yeah, I know of the patching and the new stuff we'll get into later, but yeah. I haven't been anywhere to play it, and I just really haven't felt any motivation to do so.
Because I would be kind of interested in hearing your thoughts if you look at the demo coming up when we do talk about it on the news of how the new nearby system's going to work. It looks kind of neato.
I've seen bits and pieces, and I mean, it's a step in the right direction. I hope for their sake that they haven't pretty much alienated enough of their fan base for it to not matter
and
at
that
this
they
point.
Don't fuck everything up with technical issues.
Right. Well, that as well.
When you're talking about the big game, are you talking about No Man's Sky?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, being black, you would think, I wouldn't have a problem with size, but apparently I wasn't big enough to get a No Man's Sky key, so I'm going to be salty here, okay?
I'm
going to be a little salty here.
I'm sorry to report that...
That was the black joke.
I mean, you might have missed out. You might have missed out on some good YouTube fun views, but you didn't miss out on a good video game.
Oh no! Okay.
I think the only people who are not disappointed by No Man's Sky are a very very narrow sect of people who enjoy games that aren't difficult or taxing, and B, are rich enough assholes to where they can spend $60 to no consequence. Other than that, I can't imagine, and I'm seeing it in a lot of the discussion, I can't imagine a situation where this is a satisfying good game to play. The reviews are bad. The controversy over missing features not being there on launch is overwhelming it with negativity. But also just playing it myself, I watched the launch trailer and read a few of the news stories leading up to it, but it's my usual policy to not watch trailers past the launch. So I didn't really know what I was missing out on and what was promised, but I still was not really having the time of my life with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's sad.
It's just overall a very, very underdeveloped, underwhelming experience where a lot of what could be interesting situations in the game end up becoming little text boxes that pop out of people and places you click on that give you a choice. And one of the choices rewards you with a useless upgrade you throw away, it really, really suffers from it just not having a diverse enough pool of things to generate with its procedural generation algorithms. The chances of duplicates feels way too high going on here. For as big a scale as the galaxy they've created is, there's just such little variety of what's between them that after the first, I don't know, I want to say like 3 to 4 hours, you have pretty much seen everything. And the reason why is because they made the choice for every planet to have all the basic necessary minerals on it for getting somewhere. Some planets have rare minerals, but they're not really useful for much. So you don't have like that motivation to drive and go out and explore because there's no carrot at the end of that stick. And one could argue, as Sean Murray does in his blog, that it's a very chill game about just relaxing and enjoying the pretty scenery. But the problem with that is that the algorithm doesn't really make pretty scenery very well. There's like a chance in a blue moon you'll have a pretty looking planet, but it's pockmarked by very ugly... Well, they're not ugly assets, but the way that the procedural generation places the handmade assets is kind of ugly. You'll see giant mushrooms and rock crystals poking out of places that really kind of ruin the flow of the landscape it wants to be generating underneath all that. And that's like there for a resource management metagame that's not really balanced or well fleshed out either. There's number issues, math issues.
That makes sense to me. Like, I don't think there was ever going to be a situation where a procedurally generated universe would come up with consistently good results. I mean, like, I don't know. I the closest thing that I can relate to something like that is, of course, Minecraft, because that's, you know, that was like one of the big procedurally generated worlds things that like spurred on the rise of like procedural games that, you know, with roguelikes and everything, like procedural became something that was very hot for a long time, and Minecraft had a big part to do with that. And their world generation also has just like, it's, you know, it's much smaller in scale, and it's still like, here's some trees and here's some grass, and then all of a sudden here's a desert, and how did that happen? But then like sometimes you'll get some cool stuff like, wow, this cliff is really neat, and then you know, but if you blow that up in scale by a million times, you're just going to get a million times more forest turning into sand for
no
reason.
I think it gains
a
lot from how much more compressed your space is in Minecraft versus No Man's Sky.
Absolutely.
Like it used to be Skyrim was the best example of this, but now No Man's Sky is the best example of the like ocean wide, but a foot deep paradigm. You can say it's all surface level fluff, and it really is, because you can't really find interesting stuff buried beneath the surface of the planet. Some of them have caves, but out of around 25 hours of playing this thing, I've found the same formations inside of every planet's caves. Planet has the same stuff to find on top of the surface. Whereas with Minecraft, like, I think that game has steadily over the years developed stellar procedural generation algorithms where it generates terrain that kind of follows the principles of level design, where as you explore you get a drip feed of interesting things and useful resources at a constant and steady rate that eventually leads up to you like making a portal to hell and going on actual adventures out of the stuff it makes for you. Whereas with No Man's Sky, you kind of feel that early on in the game. It's a little divisive how people feel about the early game. I really enjoyed it because that was they give you a broken ass ship that you need to run around the planet and find materials to repair with. And then they give you a little main quest where you got to build a hyperdrive. So you got to travel around the star system, sometimes buying and selling resources because you don't know how to collect them off the planets at that point. And that was interesting. It was a nice drip feed of constant diverse challenges. And then the next 18 to 20 hours, at that point, after 2 hours, I had kind of already maximized how cool and overpowered my character was going to be for the next 20 or 30 hours, because there was just everything I had done in the starter solar system was everything that was available to me in all the 15 quintillion other ones.
That's unfortunate. I mean, we're going to talk about this later, about features that were teased and or explicitly talked about and aren't in the game. But the thing that I was really interested in when I started learning about what No Man's Sky actually was a couple weeks ago, because I didn't really look into it and ride the hype train or anything, the thing that was interesting to me was like, oh, you may never meet another player, but like if you do, like maybe you can pretty much become like, you know, not a smuggler, but like a someone who like has a monopoly on like, you know, this one rare resource that you found a solar system that just like packed with it, like a planet full of fucking uranium or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, every planet has just enough uranium for what the team decided you'd need.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because because in our own solar system, we have planets that are around us that are just like, fuck, what is Venus's atmosphere is like? It's like acidic to...
It's terrifying. It's hell. Venus is hell in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I forget what it was. It was like sulfur or something. Like, the whole atmosphere is just made up of, like, we'll kill you instantly gas. And, like, why isn't there a planet that's just that? Just, like, barren and completely lifeless and just like a rock.
And no man's sky that you can't walk safely on.
You see, I already knew... Like, we all knew this was going to be overhyped and... When you're overhyped, there's always room for disappointment. We all knew this, but like I was hoping at least it would have the bare bones of something like when Elite Dangerous came out. Like when Elite Dangerous came out, it was very bare bones, right? There wasn't much there, but you can trade, you can go to different planets to, you know, this cargo scoop, all this type of different things you could do, bounty hunting. There were things to do, at least. I don't know. There there was something there. And overall, that it looked really good.
Yeah.
There's no at least some bare bones there.
No, I mean, there's bare bones. There's just not much beyond those bare bones. One thing, I've never really... For one, I never really got the hype of this game, but I've also never really got the resentment people were also at the same time as the hype developing towards it, because the concept reminded me a lot of like Sid Meier's Pirates or Mountain Blade or Freelancer or like you were saying Elite Dangerous. Like this concept of exploration, adventure sandboxes have existed for decades on PC and done fine. But one thing I was noticing when playing No Man's Sky is that there's just less activities built into the game compared to the genre standard. You go to planets, gather resources to fuel the next trip to the next planet, or you can skip that process entirely and kind of buy them from a spreadsheet in space stations. And at neither point is there like a threat or a compelling carrot at the end of that stick. There's... I think one of the greatest examples of just how underdeveloped the game is and the potential it could have had is how many text boxes it shows up. You guys have played FTL, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you travel to a new location in FTL, you oftentimes get a text box describing a cool adventure happening. The team did not have the resources to draw it or render it in wonderful stylized graphics, but you still like have a text choose your own adventure displayed to you, which I think is really cool. I really liked how they did that in Pillars of Eternity too. And they do that in No Man's Sky. You can walk up to a monument, an alien monolith, or there'll be like an infested station covered in goop and you'll find some scary logs from a guy who discovered an entire planet whose oceans was made out of razors and then looked up to the sky to see a galaxy eating god peering deep down into his soul. And when you're like creeping around this infested kind of John Carpenter aliens covered shelter on an alien planet that has a poisonous atmosphere, you're like, oh man, there might be zombies out there in the universe somewhere, and there aren't. There's like nothing will really attack you besides the wild animals it procedurally generates, which always look ugly, by the way.
Yeah, have you guys seen the fucking Jurassic Park parody thing?
Oh no.
It kills me that I think, god damn it, I have such like a weird sensibility these days, because I love the visual humor of that tweet, but I hate how the tweet just says apologize. Like for some reason for me, like making a demand that a developer publicly apologize like crosses the line from fun insult humor to like entitlement. And I feel like I don't know where that line is, and I don't know how right of me it is to call something or someone entitled, but it's emblematic of why I don't like a lot of the discussions online surrounding No Man's Sky. It seems poisonous to an extent. I I kind of want to tune it out and just not like the game on its own terms rather than the context surrounding the game.
There, No Man's Sky discussion on the internet is one of those things where nobody wants to discuss. Everyone just wants to spout. And so there's no point in
there's a lot of
spouting.
Mockery, a lot of negativity, and also good criticism inside of there somewhere, like the Jurassic Park joke, like comparing this thing to the
it's
sense of
funny.
Adventure. It's good, right? Right?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But it's just funny.
Freaking, oh God, what's that guy's name?
For people out there, just search No Man's Sky Jurassic Park and it'll pop up.
Infamous troll humorist Britt Brong made a great tweet with a little webm attached about how the game effectively doesn't deliver on the Jurassic Park-esque fantasy it's marketed as, but then it just says apologize, period. You know, like how Hillary Clinton just said never tweet, period. So it's just like a public demand, period. It's so dry and like demanding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what he's getting at is clearly it's advertised, you know, falsely. It's
right.
You know, like with Watch Dogs being extremely downgraded in visuals.
This is worse than Watch Dogs even.
Right, because it's the actual, you know, elements of gameplay and like the important stuff, like finding those cool like Brachiosaurus looking things would have been awesome, but instead you get I don't even know what to call that. It looks like a horse's body walking on 2 feet with a T-Rex head like
kind of like
peeking over the chest,
stumbling around a really barren ground that its tail is clipping through.
I mean, you know what's the like sad thing is No Man's Sky at this point, because like some people like it, a lot of people don't. Is this just going to become Spore again?
Yep.
Are we going to forget about it next year? And
probably
the only time we're ever going to talk about
Unless
No Man's Sky
is
going like
serious work on it. And my confidence in this developer is at like 0% right now. I mean, I wish them the best, but I also wish all people the best.
Yeah.
Even the ones who might be not good at delivering projects on time as expected under budget. Also, I played Shantae in the Pirate's Curse.
Significantly better
play
game.
That.
Yeah, it's
actually own that.
Pretty old. I got it in a Humble Bundle for Wii U, so I've been like cuddling up in my bed every now and then playing a level of Shantae. It's adorable. And
nice.
It's also really good. It's suddenly Shovel Knight makes a lot of sense because Shantae is basically Shovel Knight.
Yeah, Way Forward is pretty dang solid. As far as I know, I don't think I've actually played more than like one Way Forward game. But I mean, former Way Forward guys did Shovel Knight. So
yep. You got super solid platforming and level design. Just like feels good, sounds good. Jake Kaufman soundtrack. All the dialogue of the story is just like incredibly sarcastic and full of jokes. The just like primary difference here is that there's like sequel fluff here. The levels make you backtrack. There's a lot of like recurring characters who reference stuff from other games. Dialogue seems to go on a lot longer than it should. But I mean, other than that, it's just a good video game, the video game, just like Shovel Knight was. Slightly higher fidelity, gorgeous sprite work, great music, feels good, looks good. Plays good. Good game. Everyone's really hot too.
Yeah.
So I guess that's also
I've always liked the Shantae art style.
Oh, they're completely shameless. Like the opening scenes of this game have you like following her to take a bath and then the villain like crashes through the ceiling while she's in the tub. And I don't know if you've like actually seen the first 30 minutes of Shantae, but there's this scene where she's like in the tub covered by bubbles and she's like, what are you doing here? As the villain, who's also this like hot boob lady, crashes through the ceiling and is like, rawr. It then fades to black and Shantae's still in the tub in an entirely different room as the villain like walks through the exposition dump of the problems you got to solve for the rest of the game. And it's like totally shameless fan service, but at the same time, it's like kind of cute and humorous and self-aware enough to like not offend anybody.
Yeah.
They managed to get away with it with this series, and that's cute.
I mean, for a long time, my opinion has been that if you're going to do stuff like that, like, at least own it.
Right.
Like, don't pretend fucking Dead or Alive, whatever, fighting game. Don't pretend that your game is about the fighting game. Like, we all know that it's about the boobs. So, like, I don't really fault games like, God, what's that one that fucking Austin Eruption sang the praises of?
Onechanbra.
Yeah, Onechanbra. Like, I don't necessarily like the content, but they're definitely just, like, straightforward, like, yeah, made a game about boobs. Why don't you look at them?
And I mean, like, I think there's, a lot to be said of how the game handles character work and design. Like, I've never really, really felt weirded out or creeped out playing the Dead or Alive games, but... Mm. The volleyball games where you have the girls like stumbling around acting like children with the camera clearly focused on their butts as they like look up with oversized eyes and do baby talk like
Yeah, I watched a bit of Grump's playthrough of I think Dead or Alive 3 or something. I don't know. It seemed like no better than basically a Newgrounds game with a budget.
But I mean, even then, there's just like something about a lot of these games that like seem to infantilize the subject of what they're trying to make sexy that really rubs me the wrong way. Like, just have
like
sexy
a
characters
game with
having a good old fun time like Shantae, and no one will care.
Yeah. No offense to Newgrounds game makers.
Anyways.
Yeah, no,
I think I like, I'm sure I rustled the feathers of a few people, but like comparing the character of Quiet in MGS5 to Ava from MGS3, like one of them is having way more fun than the other. And one of them is like suffering and mute and like can't express herself at the same time as she's like trying to be sexy out of necessity rather than the character wanting to be sexy.
I really shouldn't play any more Metal Gear games. I'm the minority with this type of stuff. I don't like that type of stuff in my games, man.
Is that another black joke?
Oh, remember how on MGS4 when you have like sexy lady bosses and they're like super cool and they put on their sexy lady boss suit, but then you beat them in the boss battle and take pictures of them dying as they're making sex. Like, that's the line for me.
Sexy is fine. Yeah. When you're putting like porn in the game, then that's the line for me.
I like porn. Porn is fine, but there's certain
but you
thresholds.
But you go to a certain place for porn, like four times when you combine it
with violence or infantilization. That's when I start to get a little weirded out.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't play games with, you know, lotion and you know, tissues handy.
Right, by the side.
I've actually always wondered that as well.
Yes, I don't. Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. It's weird that like Shantae circled into this conversation because that's an example of a game doing it right.
Right. Not Shantae. But yeah.
Anyways. I almost dove into Warcraft Legion pre-patch, but I didn't. But I almost did.
Which one is Legion again?
The new one.
Okay.
But I have listened to like 40 something hours of Warcraft lore while I've been making my cosplay.
Oh my god, you're crazy.
I'm so deep, dude. I know everything, and I actually have an interesting a video that I was going to make has shifted into a different video because it seems like the most successful World of Warcraft expansions play on already existent lore that's like from deep in like the Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 like realm that just like, you know, is resurfacing and like having more parts added to it. And the worst Warcraft or World of Warcraft expansions are like trying to like introduce an entirely new concept. And there's like a pretty clear correlation between like things that are liked by the community and things that aren't, with the like new lore versus like expanded old lore. It's very weird.
Is it good lore?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Is it good lore?
Oh yeah, the World of Warcraft universe is like fucking amazing.
Even with the pandas, aside from like, and the aliens.
Well, that's yeah. Those, well, the aliens, yes, because those are the Draenei, and that's actually super. One of the most interesting parts is the Draenei and the fucking demon lords and shit. But Pandaria is like one of the ones I was talking about. That's like they tried to do something like, let's introduce a completely new thing based off of a one-off character from Warcraft 3. And it was like, no.
Yeah, so not. I remember when Pandaria came out. So, I've never really gotten into the Warcraft games, but I remember reading a post on a forum somewhere where someone was talking about how the Pandarians have existed in the Warcraft lore forever, but as kind of an inside joke. And that for Blizzard to, like, go full out and make a well production value expansion pack based on the joke race was a little unprecedented.
Yeah, like there was, I forgot what his name, a mercenary you can hire in Warcraft 3 from the Mercenary Tavern. He was just like brewmaster or something or another, and literally he was just like kind of a stereotypical Asian person, but is also a panda man, and like that was his thing, and that's like about it. And he like did monk style fighting, and like that was as far as pretty much you see of Pandaria. And
so
honestly, like the expansion has a lot to do with like troll invaders, it has a lot to do with the old gods, and they could have totally just had it in Pandaria, but instead of saying Mists of Pandaria, it could have been like Rise of C'Thun or like I don't know, Return of the Zandalari or something, and they could have used trolls or old gods to like brand it, and it would have looked cooler and been more enticing, but instead they're like, let's slap the pandas on the cover, and it was a really bad idea.
Is Kung Fu Panda a Warcraft ripoff?
Practically.
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, basically, I would assume that they're both just inspired by the same thing, which is the fact that Asian cultures are very well known to be like the birthplace of like martial arts and kung fu.
Pandas live in China.
Right. I think that's the only correlation there. It's like,
and I'm wondering like how much original thought that takes, like a panda man that knows kung fu versus DreamWorks like looking deep into the Warcraft lore and being like, you know what, we can make a best-selling franchise out of this joke character.
And then
make doing this, it.
Make it voiced by Jack Black.
Amazing.
But I highly recommend, if you guys out there are interested in the Warcraft lore, like put it on like a podcast or something. You don't need to watch, just listen. And it's pretty fucking cool. I've learned a lot, and this, like the Warcraft universe is fascinating.
So one concept that I did kind of discover with No Man's Sky was the appeal of the quote-unquote podcast game, which is a term I didn't really know about until I was playing No Man's Sky with a chat room full of friends in the background, and everyone was like, this seems to be working as a podcast game. So I don't know like how well I think this thing appeals to me. People will pick games that don't require that much of an emotional investment, that are just kind of have routines you run through with pretty sights and sounds to look at along the way as podcast games.
Yeah.
And that's because I think I get it, because I've played a lot of games in the past that I thought were just kind of mediocre that still have huge fan bases and lots of praise, like the Far Cries and the Assassin's Creeds, and I'm wondering if this whole time I just should have been playing them while listening to podcasts, because I liked No Man's Sky a lot more when my mind was half distracted.
Yeah, it's the idea of like,
it's like MMOs, like, or like podcasts.
Yeah, right. It's exactly like MMOs, like because you're not looking too deep into the story. Like, I mean, I looked deep into the lore of Warcraft, but like I still skip all the fucking text boxes for quests and everything. I don't really care. Like, it's just like,
oh, that
dude wants me to go
so
collect some carrots,
me.
Whatever.
When I was playing WoW, I would like turn everything off and concentrate. Like, that's how I played games my whole life. So,
I mean, like
knowing and feeling the appeal of podcast games is like,
if it's an interesting quest, like I all the raid stuff I like read through, but like again, it's fucking, you know, starting zone Vic human level 1, and it's like, please go kill wolves, Okay. Skip. But anyway, yeah, it's like the idea of like busy work in those games, like, you know, repetitious grinding, mm-hmm. doing stuff like in Minecraft, you have to like collect wood or whatever. It seems like you are wasting your time. But if you're simultaneously doing that and listening to a podcast, it seems less so. And I at the same time, just listening to a podcast and doing nothing seems like wasting your time.
Yeah.
But listening to a podcast and doing something else doesn't.
I've always used podcasts as exercise excuses. An exercise. Yeah. But now I wonder if suddenly I'm going to become fat now because I've discovered how much fun mediocre games are with podcasts in the background.
Yeah.
I actually distract myself with videos now. Like when I'm on the elliptical, I just put on like a playlist and I watch it.
On your cell phone?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like that distracts me full on, like night and day difference. I feel like I'm feeling if I have like something visual in my way, I can like not focus on my feet visual. Burning. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's do some news after the break. Earlier, we had a scary foreshadowing event, hinting at the disastrous negativity and cynicism that would come, talking about how Pokemon Go got totally ruined, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's back. It's okay. They fixed it. And are planning to fix it even harder. No, about a week ago.
Oh.
So you remember how we were whining about the Pokeball tax? Or I think that was like more my grievances. Sunder.
Yeah, because I hadn't tried. Doing it at all.
Your big beef was the nearby system being removed.
Right.
Well, this week they fixed the Pokeball tax. They said it was apparently a bug.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Or just like how a bug like this happens. This is why Niantic is clearly understaffed for the thing they're tackling off. Same problem with Hello Games with No Man's Sky. Anyways, they've acknowledged that the increased flea rate and increased fight rates and the lack of bonus XP you were getting for super good throws was a thing that was happening. They said it was a bug and was not intentional. And later that week, they rolled out a fix that fixed it. It's still not as easy and lenient as it was when I was playing it maybe 3 weeks ago, but it's like just a little bit more hard to where you have to pay a little bit of attention to how you're throwing your balls, which I think is fine.
Yeah, what it was during the bugged period was, from what I was hearing, was just like, you're going to have to commit like 20 or so Pokeballs to catch anything decent.
Ridiculous. Rare Pokemon that you spend a whole day hoping would spawn would just like run away after your first failed throw.
Yeah.
So, which was, you know, it's totally RNG. And now it's a whole lot more fair and at least a little bit more skill dependent. But just there's just less of the Pokeball tax there in the first place, which was the big problem I had. You had problems with them taking away the nearby feature, which is going to be replaced, as they've outlined, by a feature called Sightings, which shows
right, which
you,
is pretty good.
Did you see the GIF that they posted? That users on NeoGAF posted a GIF that kind of sold me over. If you scroll down the paste article I've linked to in our docket, you'll see this GIF, which looks really neat.
Right, yeah, watching it now.
You tap the Pokestop on your nearby list that a Pokemon has been sighted by, and your map zooms way the hell out over to where you should be looking for this Pokemon.
Yeah, which, I mean, this is a pretty good system. The kind of downfall of it is that it still is like,
wow,
this caters to people who are in densely populated areas with lots of Pokestops. And for people like me, there's only like 4 Pokestops and they're all in the same cluster. So, I mean, I would only go there anyway because that's where the stops are. So, like, this doesn't help me hunt for anything.
I'm wondering, but, though, you see this big arrow it's pointing to? There's like a blue circle with a little arrow next to it. And it seems to be pointing slightly upwards of the actual stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if the stop is just what the Pokemon is, the nearest stop that the Pokemon's to, but the Pokemon themselves can spawn between Pokestops.
Yeah,
this arrow points out to
something
you.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have friends who still play it. I'm just going to let them test it out for me. I don't really feel like I just have no motivation to play this game.
Far away, dude. That
yeah, good. Yeah. That'll get you walking and going on an adventure.
I mean, what is it going to be? I wonder how the pictures are going to be like in the forest or something. That's just weird to me.
I love it. I want to go out in a forest and search for Pokemans, and that's what I have never been able to do because they never had a working feature like this during my tenure with the game.
Yeah.
Which Jimmy was apparently doing way early on in launch when it was actually working, and that's an experience I still haven't had yet. So I wanna go find bodies in the woods and also Pokemon.
Yeah, honestly, I would just like the original step counter back, but apparently that was a big tax on their servers to do that.
Which is weird because this looks way more specific.
Yeah, it looks way more taxing.
To clarify, when is this coming out?
They haven't specified.
Like, zoom out map thing. Yeah, they haven't said.
But there is a certain population of test players who are already able to use this feature.
Yeah,
they just haven't rolled
PTR.
It out for all the users yet. But you know, that's all in Niantic's hands, not Nintendo's, who are a very different company.
I think that Niantic's hands should be doubled in the amount of hands that they have, because I think that they need more people to make this game good.
If Nintendo was a benevolent, nice, kind company, they probably would send over, like, I don't know, 10 genius programmers to work on this game along with Niantic. But in the meantime, we have to deal with the Nintendo that takes down fan projects by the boatload.
God.
Last week there was a string of them, 3 of them.
It was all so close together.
Another Metroid Prime 2 remake got taken down. The Nintendo Power Archive got taken down, and a fan project called Pokemon Uranium got taken down. All within like 4 days of each other.
Yeah, it's like, it is amazing. Like, I've said this before in previous podcasts, I said it on Twitter, I'll say it now. This is almost absolutely Nintendo of Japan's decision, because that's like primarily where this comes from. You like hear stories like when Splatoon came out, Nintendo of America being like, here, YouTubers, have our game, play it, put it up, monetize, yeah. And Nintendo of Japan immediately copyright claiming all those videos because they're Nintendo of Japan. And I don't know what the specific differences in business culture is between Japan and America, but that's typically what ends up being the case. So if you're going to direct your anger, probably direct it at Nintendo of Japan for this, like it is well within their rights, but still just like a very silly, like, just let your fans celebrate your stuff. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we should all love?
No, they gotta protect their intellectual property, because then they'll be setting precedents for a case when they actually rip people off.
Which I think is an argument that's actually getting some holes poked into it these days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen some weird discussions on my various boards of choice that I'm unfamiliar with. One of which, when these projects were coming out over the past week, I saw a lot of upvoted comments on Reddit talking about how Nintendo is usually lenient about fan projects, which is so not true. How the fuck?
No.
Who? How? Why? When did that become a thing people think? I don't know.
Yeah.
In the outline, I have like 4 comments pointed out in particular that were at the top of threads, pointing out that like the Metroid Prime 2 remake actually launching with people not expecting Nintendo to take it down right away, which immediately happened, as it did with Mario ROM hacks upon release of Super Mario Maker. The Super Mario 64 HD project getting taken down. Super Mario Brothers X, I think, is like the one that solidified their evil reputation in my heart, because that's an absolutely epic fan game that ended up becoming Terraria. Same developer also, started that project after he got taken down for his fan game.
Also, Project M.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Dolphin Emulator.
There was a really shitty fan
Super
movie.
Mario.
Yeah.
So I was going to say Sunshine HD that people were trying to make.
There was a really shitty fan movie made in Georgia called The Hero of Time that had a screening at the local art house theater. And then they released it online for free. And they took that down, too. I still have a backup copy of that. Because, like, it's such a great party movie.
The thing is, like, you know, it's just going to dredge up the same fucking argument that we do all the time on the internet. But, like, at what point does that stop becoming fair use? Because, like, with AM2R, with another Metroid 2 remake, it makes sense because they use assets from Nintendo's game. Fine. Like, a lot of those assets were sprite work that was done for Super Metroid, Zero Mission, Fusion, etc. But fucking making a movie based on an IP, it seems like that absolutely just falls into fair use without even
unless it's like a passing glance. Parody or criticism or edutainment.
It doesn't need to be. It just needs to be transformative.
Well, but yeah, that's the like common justification. Also, fair use is a defense if you get sued. It's not a protection from being sued.
I mean, I guess, but I'm saying that you're
using the IP without the permission, then you can get sued for it, which is why so many of these developers don't contest the takedowns. They just sneak out a torrent of it and then be like, okay, we're doing exactly as we're told. Because they even if they win the case, they will still have to pay more money than any individual feasibly has.
Yeah, it just makes me upset because, again, Nintendo, it's in their prerogative. Like, you know, do you, Nintendo, but like no Metroid games for how long now, and just basically
they're making a Metroid game. It's called Federation.
It's not out yet.
Doesn't it
so
come out tomorrow?
No Metroid games. It comes out in a little bit.
Federation
but like
Force. Oh my god! It comes out tomorrow.
Literally,
no one cares.
No one cares. Was literally released on the fucking 30th anniversary of Metroid.
Yeah. It's really good, too, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, I have the 1.1 download of it, the one that they updated after they got taken down. So.
Which is also hilarious. The dev is still patching it, even after it's been taken down.
Yeah, but, like, a completely free, just, like, love letter to Metroid that was been in development for, like, fucking 9 years or something.
Damn.
What are you gaining by taking it down? Just the quote unquote like ability to defend ourselves in future cases to set precedent. Like, if I had thousands of dollars, I would just donate it to AM2R's devs because they deserve it.
Well, if you actually get sued, you're gonna need like tens of thousands of dollars.
Bare minimum. I'm not saying to get their legal defense funded or whatever. I'm just saying they don't fucking deserve to be taken down. Stupid, dumb.
The one thing that also breaks my heart as someone who cares about journalism and media is the Nintendo Power Archive going down. Like, yeah, these absolutely like schlock magazines from 20 years ago.
Wow.
I don't understand, like,
why?
Who they were feasibly hurting, unless Nintendo has actual real plans to sell an archive of backlog Nintendo Power issues, which I can't imagine they'd want to do. But it's really weird that the Internet Archive can get away with like hosting full arcade MAME ROMs of Street Fighter 2, like franchises that are still active, and won't get takedowns for it. But when they put out these magazines that the now defunct publication that is not being resold on any digital stores, they get taken down by Nintendo for it.
Wow.
Yep. It's just...
Wow. Nintendo.
Deep, heavy sigh.
Yeah.
Also, Pokemon Uranium is like a completely original game that's just using the Pokemon IP.
Which, well, that means it's not original. I don't know.
I mean, all of the... Everything in it that's not, like...
I hear
the
it's
fact
really
that it's
good,
called Pokemon.
Though.
I mean, the designs are... they oscillate in quality over the course of the game from what I've seen.
Also, I'd rather it be called anything other than Pokemon Uranium.
Yeah.
It's kind of like calling it Pokemon Chlorine Gas or something.
9 Pokemon. Years in the making. Holy crap.
Pokemon Agent Orange.
Pokemon Arsenic.
God. All right.
Fan
just,
games.
That just reminds
Make
me
em.
Of all those, like... This reminds me of all those, like, Pokemon, but they're realistic. And it's just like, no, you just took the design and you added, like, gross-ass
wrinkles,
teeth and tried to make them look
holes.
All scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys remember Superhot? I know Matt remembers Superhot.
Yeah, I remember Superhot. It was
I loved Superhot.
Yeah.
It's really weird, like, scrolling through reviews of this year, I find it hard... to really like narrow down my quote unquote game of the year this year so far, but I almost think I had the most fun, just like the most pure, unrestrained, un-nitpicky, uncritical enjoyment playing through Superhot, which is weird because it's just like a 2 hour long like little nothing throwaway game, but it's so neat.
Mm, yeah.
Anyways, they're making a card game out of Superhot now.
What?
That's weird, isn't it?
They're making a card game. Why is everyone making a card game now?
I don't know. It seems like everyone has a card game. Everyone has a board game. I have two boxes of Witcher 3 Gwent cards leaning on my bedside behind me right now. I'm having a George Fest tomorrow. A bunch of friends of mine are going to play the Witcher 3 card game.
Yes, it's going to be
fun. I thought you were going to say, because you're like, everyone has a card game, everyone has a board game. And you said, and I thought you were going to say, I have a card game. And I was really excited to play
the Super Bunny Hop RPG role-playing pen and paper game is getting a Kickstarter this December, which is also when the Super Hot card game will be getting its Kickstarter. They're developing it by a guy named Manuel Corriera, who apparently knows what he's doing. I'm going to mispronounce that, however. He built a deck-building game called Agent Decker. Have any of you guys played or heard of Agent Decker?
No.
No.
They're collaborating with another board game developer called Board and Dice, who worked with Corriera on a best-selling board game called Multi-Universum. Have you guys played or heard of Multi-Universum?
No.
Yeah, see, this is kind of out of our league. We're lonely dweebs who sit in our basements playing video game. We don't go out and hang out with people and play board games. It's really sad. We're failures of human beings. So we don't... I don't know. The only thing I can think about is that Superhot's gameplay, when it's in your hands, does have a weird... kind of resemblance to turn-based gameplay where you stop, think about what you're going to do, and then execute that plan. But there's hard time limits in place. So I'm wondering if the card game will involve like maybe an hourglass that you flip over and tick down as you have to play multiple cards against multiple cards coming at you within some kind of hard time limit. Which might actually be a fairly interesting way of translating Superhot to card. You know what? Actually, now I'm interested. If I have disposable cash when this thing comes out, I might see about snagging up a copy of it for a video topic.
I wonder what the cards are going to be. What? Bullet, sword, punch?
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Maybe the katana beats bullets, but... extra time on the timer also beats I don't know. This is weird. Strange.
Yeah. It's going to be quite interesting. There will be a Kickstarter campaign. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you got to pay those printing fees.
The artist. Did you like Superhot? Well, guess what, guys? We're making a card game.
A new super hot product for you. Although, you know, that VR version is probably going to keep them in the media for a while as this goes through. I don't know if they're going to be turning a profit on it because they had to take that Oculus exclusivity deal. But super hot VR is probably going to be rad. Matt can tell us all about it
when it comes out. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be ready. I'll be
with
ready.
Your Oculus Move controllers.
Yeah.
Are you getting those, by the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yes. I have to touch.
You have to touch. Finish the sentence, please.
I have to touch. That's it.
You have to touch things.
I have to touch.
You just okay. Okay, WarioWare over here.
Yes, yes.
Big news topic this week has always been No Man's Sky, as you might expect. One thing that I think is really interesting and a little unprecedented on top of all the like anger and negativity over what was released compared to what was shown is that someone on Reddit has apparently made a big ass spreadsheet being very, very specific with individual citations for each piece of quote unquote promised feature and then comparisons to what works in the final game, including specific timestamped links to trailers as well as specific quotes from interviews.
Yeah.
Describing really, really obvious things that you could tell at a glance, like no real multiplayer, giant sandworms missing, as well as abstract stuff that takes a little bit more observation to notice is wrong. The one thing that kills me is this quote he dug up from Sean Murray saying, "The physics of every other game is faked. When you're on a planet, you're surrounded by a skybox, a cube that someone has painted stars or clouds onto. But our day-night cycle is happening because the planet is rotating on its own axis as it spins around the sun." And as it turns out, in the final game, they kind of fudge that by painting a skybox around a sphere that you teleport to. The planets don't revolve around suns in the final games. They do rotate on their own axes, but they don't move anywhere in physical space. And the same illusions that he's kind of making fun of is what the team ended up implementing for the game.
How big are the planets, by the way? Because that's another thing he mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. He said in interviews that it would take days to fully explore the planets, but in the actual game, it takes, if you really want to walk from one end to another, I would estimate about 4-3 hours. They're miniaturized, probably closer to like the moon than the Earth, but still very, very big in terms of what you would expect out of like quickly generated on the fly game worlds. The problem we've gone over it, of course, is just like how much is there. One thing that I think is a little sad is how little terrain diversity there is on these planets, which is to be expected, I guess. They're all thematic. I mean, you know, we know and love planet Earth with its deserts and its tundras and its the beautiful rocky coastline. It's very diverse areas, but your garden world in No Man's Sky is just kind of the same density of beaches and islands spread across the entire planet surface.
Yeah.
Whereas every planet is very thematic.
Is there a pirate themed planet?
Probably not.
When are those videos coming out, Jimmy?
They don't have cities or towns or civilization.
Am I like the only one who hasn't forgotten about that?
I will never forget, right? It's still...
Your Twitter avatar is wearing a pirate costume still.
Yeah. Can't imagine what I had those made for.
Last speaking of crushing disappointment, our last news topic is causing crushing disappointment for a lot of fans. I for one am not feeling it because I like to think that I have everything together and am a normal person, but that might not be true. Anyways, a Kojima less Metal Gear spinoff project is in the works at Konami. It is called Metal Gear Survive. It is a 4-player zombie co-op shooter.
Ooh, yeah, man. This is what I've been waiting for.
But at the same time, you know, I don't know how much you've paid attention to the year later game of the year wacky spinoff modes that they put out for previous Metal Gear games. I mean, Metal Gear Solid 1 had the VR missions where you had boss battles against giant Godzilla-sized guards and murder mystery minigames and creepy photo sessions. And Metal Gear Solid 2 had a skateboarding minigame where you skateboarded around the big shell and the substance re-release. Metal Gear Solid 3 had an Ape Escape tie-in mode where you caught little cartoon monkeys in the subsistence re-release, along with an online mode that was super duper wacky. Metal Gear Solid 4 got the online mode, but no weird wacky single player modes. It really didn't have like a year later game of the year version. What I see happening here is them making a wacky spinoff for the game of the year later edition, but them running out of ideas and coming up with a much more vanilla idea as a result. The thing is really lacking the humor that the usual non-canon Metal Gear spinoff modes have. And it's also being put in the firing line because of the pressures and controversies that modern day Konami is facing.
Yeah, honestly, like, I saw more than a fair few people on my Twitter feed when this came out. Like, obviously, a bunch of people were like, oh, fuck this, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then some people were like, you haven't played it, you know, you can't judge the game based on that, which
was
is true.
Was it Alex?
Well, yes, he him and Pro Jared. I love Alex to death, but he devil's advocates to the end of time, and sometimes I just don't think it's really necessary. But anyway, like, yeah, it's fair. You haven't played it, can't judge the game's quality. Yeah. But Pro Jared was going on this long thing of like you can't call Metal Gear Survive ridiculous based, like, once you look at the rest of the
spin-offs.
Metal Gear stuff. And yeah, like all that stuff, like the Ape Escape thing. And he was like just linking like ridiculous shit that's in Metal Gear. And I think that more... what he's missing with that assessment is the fact that that's exactly the point. There's a whole bunch of ridiculous, interesting shit in Metal Gear that doesn't make any fucking sense. And instead, we have a four-player co-op zombie shooter.
Yeah.
With literally nothing in it that looks like it has any sort of Metal Gear flavor. It just looks like
I
a fucking four-player co-op zombie shooter.
Kind of feel a little bit of that devil's advocacy, because I really would want Metal Gear to be anything, but... the four-player zombie survival shooter is kind of a tired genre at this point.
Yeah,
and if it was Metal a tired Gear's genre like
gonna
3 years
anything,
ago,
let's not yeah. make it a tired genre.
Oh, yeah. You haven't played Left 4 Dead yet? You should probably.
But the Left 4 Deads were good. The
very mechanically sound.
Oh
games.
God, the
That's
Dead
why
Island
they got
games.
Old.
What's that? One I've already forgotten the name of. It was Dead something or other that.
Dead Island?
Star, no, the Dead Island devs made it as a pseudo-sequel. It came out around early 2015. It had a PewDiePie quote in its marketing. Dead by Daylight? Dead? No, that's another one.
Dead Island guys?
Yeah, hang on. Dead Island. It just has such an easily forgettable name, I want to look it up. Just to refresh myself before I forget it again.
So by Deep Silver, and it was
Techland. Deep Silver. Let's see. Dying Light.
Death Stranding.
Dying Light is what I was thinking of. Holy shit! What a forgettable name.
Yeah.
Which is probably like another example of a game that's fine if you play it with half a brain and have a podcast taking up the other half. So yeah,
they should put your quote on the box instead of PewDiePie.
I could see it if you know Kojima was still working at an acceptable
George
Konami. if Konami was still exhibiting good behavior over the past year and they released this as $20 DLC, I couldn't imagine there being as much backlash as there was now. I would see there being some backlash over it being not that exciting of an idea, but yeah. The precedence of them making a wacky non-canon, like cheapo throwaway spinoff for the game of the year edition a year later is something that is very familiar for the franchise. But we're also living in a time period where they can release it as a like $20 standalone expansion rather than making you buy the $50 game of the year edition like I did with Subsistence when I was a teenager, which was fine. I freaking love Subsistence. They really, really, really did work on that version of Metal Gear Solid 3. But also, it's not the end of the world. I also don't really care that much because Metal Gear hasn't been good since 2008. Sorry, guys.
I just wanted to bring light to the fact that some people think that everyone's mad because it's zombies And it's like, no, zombies can be interesting. This, however, does not look interesting.
It does.
Like, nothing about this. You could slap a different title on this trailer, and it would be no more or less interesting.
It looks like a real cheap idea. Like, it's just something for this team to do. There's like little passion or creativity I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
But then again,
because there's no, it's not Kojima Productions.
At this point onwards, I will not see any more trailers until either I play it for myself or reviews come out, which is a very good policy. I think, people, I advise you to do that. Don't buy things until it's out and there are reviews.
Yeah. Speaking of reviews,
yeah,
you're taking a trip to the glorious
Nippon.
You should play some Metal Gear Solid Pachinko and do a review.
Oh, you just leaked the embargo of one of my great ideas.
Damn.
The embargo.
When they announced Silent Hill Pachinko, I was like, you know what? Who else on YouTube would go to Japan, sneak a camera into a patchy slot parlor, and just stumble their way through the language barrier to make a video about this? Someone might, so I better not say anything. But now that we're 3 weeks off and it's just the podcast, I guess I'll let this slide. But yeah, that's an idea. Damn. I've had for like a year.
Yeah,
I guess it would be silly of me to think that you hadn't thought of that, but
the
I don't know, it just dawned on me.
The hard part is actually figuring out where to go, because to save my life, I can't find a resource online in English or Japanese that tells you which patchy parlors have which machines. So I'm just kind of going to have to fly by the seat of my pants. The only thing I know is that Scrib told me that most of the patchy slots he visited while he was in Japan last year just had like a little bit of everything, including the big dumb licensed games. And he sounded pretty confident that I would find it if I at least visit three at minimum. Chances are one of them would have the machines I'm looking for.
Just ask somebody.
Just play Pokemon Go and
go to the polls.
Whenever you pass a Apache slot place, just go in. Pokemon Go to the slot machines.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a grown ass man. I can spend my yen on what I want. Oh, by the way, when I this is completely unrelated, but just fun topic. When I got some currency conversion over at the bank, they sent me two 2,000 yen notes, which are apparently pretty uncommon in Japan. They're about as rare as our $2 bills in America, but for some reason, banks have lots of them stockpiled. So when you order money from a bank, you're more likely to get these rare bills, which is cool, because now I have to decide whether or not I want to hold on to them or spend them while I'm over there.
Oh, man. I want to see that cash when I get over there.
I took a picture of it and posted it on Twitter. It's really, really interesting. They have some neat characters on these bills. This guy on the 1,000 yen note kind of looks like a Japanese version of the main character from Eraserhead. Sorry, I don't know why I'm not talking about video games and instead talking about the pictures on this Japanese money I got in the mail. But
oh, I saw it. Yeah, I see it now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Matt, got anything in the pipeline?
Pipeline? Yeah. Yeah, I might be Pokemon going to the polls soon. I might be doing it big. And of course Peace Walker, and I don't know. I feel like I want to have an opinion on No Man's Sky, but I might just play Metal Gear games instead and Pokemon Go instead for the next couple videos. Yeah, that's me though. That's me. What about you guys?
I mean, I might have a video. I compiled some clips of me like working on it that I'm gonna chop together real quick. But if you go check my channel, maybe it's there, maybe it's not, but go check my Instagram. I'm gonna have a picture up of my Genji cosplay that in its complete form. Just SunderCR on Instagram. I'm excited about that. I think it came out pretty alright.
Tight.
I'm going to hedge my bets that I get a review copy at some point and can rush out a Deus Ex review.
Ah, that's right. That's coming out.
Comes out in a few days.
Oh, really? Crap. Okay.
You know what else comes out in a few days? Actually, it's already out if you're listening to the podcast.
What?
Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Oh yeah, man. I already forgot. Woo. Again.
Yeah. Woo, can't wait.
But
I'm gonna write up an email like right after we finish this. I want a review copy of that.
Oh my god, you're crazy. You might get one through Jared, actually. Sorry, Gerard. I said Jared. And also I've got these Gwent cards in the back, and I really want to do a fun video feature called Gwent IRL, where I talk about how this video game mini game works in real life. That's gonna be cute. And I also got a hold of No Man's Sky. This is The Police, a long time ago. I want to do a review of that. It'd be way out of date, but I think that would make for some real interesting writing. And hopefully I can get 3 videos out before going to Japan. In which case I'll have to take 2 weeks off. Maybe can squeeze a podcast. Don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll have to be podcasting at 9 in the morning out of my hostel room on.
Dude, you have to podcast now.
A shitty.
You made it
Skype
interesting.
Connection.
Well, if anything, that would be a good time for us to say, why don't you guys out there, the listeners, let us know if there's anybody that you would like us to have on the podcast as a guest.
The Clustercast have been getting some negative reviews.
Just a few. Basically, like, you know, if George is going to be out for a couple weeks, we don't want to skip more weeks with him gone. Like, still want to keep the podcast going.
Yeah.
So if you guys have anybody that you're burning to listen to us talk to, I don't know, tweet at us. We'll do what we can.
Yeah. We'll stretch our e-celeb connections and
do that, or there will be another Clustercast.
Oh god.
Imagine a Clustercast without me. Do you want that, humble listener?
I don't.
So yeah, actually that's real good idea. Suggest people you would want in place of me. So that way I don't
leave
have
your
to
comments
wake up
below.
That way I won't have to wake up at 9 a.m. and use a real shitty microphone attached to my phone and be a couple seconds behind everyone else because of being on the other side of the planet for 2 weeks.
Right.
No, I would say tweet at us because there's no comments below.
That's the joke.
Send us a pizza roll on our web zone with a portrait of your requested guest stapled to the pizza roll. And we'll see what we can do.
Oh my gosh,
I was gonna make a promise. I'm not gonna make a promise.
Don't make
but
a
I would
girl,
like to
you
see
promise.
That happen.
You can't keep. Remember that,
I was
line
going to say
that Halo said in Cortana?
I was gonna say if somebody actually sends us that, then I will do everything in my power to get their guest on no matter what, but I don't want someone to be like
PewDiePie.
Like Hitler.
Oh no, you went a whole different direction.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude, I don't know how to do black rituals to revive anyone from the dead, so I think that's like
really
just out
I thought
of
that's what you people knew best.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna go dance around the fire. I'll see you guys later.
Let me just stress. Don't tell your mom about us. Oh boy.